and especially on verse 22 and 23. So I'm trying to get you to memorize, if you don't have these scriptures memorized, I'm trying to get you to memorize these. The psalmist David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." It's important to try to memorize scripture. Even if you don't get it word perfect, if you can remember scriptures, it helps you in all different aspects of life. Let me just give you one quick example. Well, actually, first, let me see if you can, how many of you, if you're working on this to try to memorize it. Anybody think that they know Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, and they'd like to say it? Anybody but Bill, because we knew that he knew it before we started. All right. Well, don't look at it. Let's see. Next week, if you haven't memorized, I'll give you a $100 bill. How would that be? Yeah, you would do it for that, huh? No, I'm just kidding. I'm not giving you a $100 bill. I'll give you Monopoly money. All right, let's try it. Here we go. Ready? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Yeah. Against such there is no law. So here's an example that memorizing Scripture can help you when in all different types, in all different times in your life. Anyhow, yesterday, Shelley and I and Brother Frank, we took a motorcycle ride, and we went up all through Vermont, and beautiful. The colors were beautiful. Well, we stopped at a little diner that we stopped at before and got some coffee and some Danish, and they have a lot of ready-made Danish, and usually that's what we do, but I really felt like a piece of pie and a little bit of ice cream, so I had to kind of like ask for that. I just figured they'd go cut the pie, give me the ice cream. So Frank got a muffin, and Shelley got a muffin and their coffee, and they have a little picnic area outside. That's where they went. Well, 5 minutes went by, and I'm still waiting for my pie. And 10 minutes went by, and I'm still waiting for my pie. And now I'm getting aggravated. And just as I get to the point, I'm thinking, I'm just going to walk out. Forget about it. Then I thought of the fruit of the Spirit, and I thought of being patient, long-suffering. And the poor girl, she was inundated with people, and she forgot my order. So finally I said to her, in a very patient and kind voice, "Did you forget my pie?" "Oh, sir." You know, when you get old, they call you sir now. "Sir, I'm so sorry." And so I said, "That's okay." So I was really looking forward to a piece of apple pie. And then she came back and said, "We don't have any apple pie left. Raspberry and peach." "Oh, I love raspberry pie. I'll have a piece of raspberry pie." So she said, okay. She went, got the pie and cut it and put it in the bowl. And there's so much ice cream on the top, I couldn't even really see the pie. So maybe she did that because I waited like 20 minutes now for this piece of pie. And I'm halfway back out to the table and I look at it, and not at raspberry, it's peach. So this whole thing. Anyhow, it was really good though. Anyhow, the point of it is this. It's a silly thing. Have you ever let something really silly get to you? I mean, just get to you? I mean, there we're having a great time. We're out for a few hours riding, looking at the beautiful colors, and you get impatient, and well, that's not a big catastrophic thing, or it's not a big serious thing in life, but those little things, sometimes you can ruin your testimony in those situations as well. And anyhow, so it's so important to think about and to memorize Scripture. And tonight, we're talking about the fruit of peace, you notice on your handout. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. We looked at that last week, and this week, it's peace. The whole idea of peace. You know, you've probably noticed this, but we don't really live in a very peaceful world, do we? I mean, everything from what's going on around us, even in locally, or what's going on in national politics, or what's going on in the world, there's just a lot of strife, and there's just a lot of animosity, and there's just a lot of things that go on. But the world really, you know, has never been a peaceful place. I don't know how they figured this out, but some historians have figured out that in the history of the world, that they can kind of look at about a 292-year period, and not a 292 years in a segment, but about 292 years in the history of the world that it was relatively peaceful. And they did. Somebody added all of this up, but they said this: since 3600 BC, there have been 14,351 wars in which 3.64 billion people have died. Moreover, they said, there has been an excess of 8,000 peace treaties that have been made, and those peace treaties have been broken. Listen, most people that you meet, they would like to live a peaceable life, right? I mean, isn't that what people want? They just want some peace and quiet. So we want to talk about that tonight. Then let me give you this too. This people kind of get all kind of wrapped up in things. And so you finish these sayings, because these are well-known sayings. Think about these, and then you give me the last word. I am ready to throw in the towel. I'm at the end of my wits. But end of my rope, too. I'm just a bundle of nerves. There's a lot of people today that are just at a bundle of nerves because they go to Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts too often. My life is falling. I feel like resigning from the human. Now, those are mostly dealing with the personal peace that people are looking for. And someone said that peace is not only the absence of trouble, but it's the presence of Jesus Christ. So look on your handout. Be at peace with God. That's the first point on our handout. Be at peace with God. Peace is available to all of us with God, and peace is attainable to all of us. To be at peace with God. You know that the Bible says that mankind is at enmity with God. We're not born into this world at peace with God. We're born into this world at enmity with God. We've been separated from God. What has separated us from God? What is it that separates us from God? Huh? You got to speak loud because of the air conditioner. Sin. Sin. Sin separated us from God. Because of the sin of Adam and because of the sin of Eve, we have all been separated from God. And wherefore, by as one man, sin entered into the world, and then death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So we're not in communion. We go through life not in communion with God. We're born into this world at odds with God. But yet the Bible tells us that this peace is available. Look on your handout, Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, the Bible says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Scriptures remind us that this peace that we so need and so many people desperately look for, this peace is available to us because God has made a way for it to be available to us. And it starts with knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It starts with recognizing that we're a sinner. It starts with realizing that Jesus came to die and pay for our sin. It starts with realizing that our sin has separated us from God. It starts with realizing that Jesus came to make a way for that which was separated to come back together. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And you notice what it says, of course, on the handout, this peace is through, it's not through church membership. It's not through being religious. It's not through any of these things. It's through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? He was the one that made the way so that we could have peace again with God. And then this peace that we have is certainly attainable. Colossians 1:20 on your handout. And having made peace, and here's how he did it, through the blood of his cross. That's why he went to the cross. He went to the cross to make peace. He went to the cross to die for our sins. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So that's how we can have peace with God. It comes through the person of Jesus Christ, and it comes through really the actions of Jesus Christ. He came into this world so that you and I could have this peace that God so desires that we have with him. But it's through the blood of the cross. That's the only way. So now look on the back of your handle. Now we want to talk about the peace within. Because even sometimes when we've accepted Jesus as our Savior, we can go through life. So that by having peace with God, we've made peace with him. But now what we desire is to have the peace of God. I read an article or an illustration of this. It had to do with a painting contest. So there was a contest to try to draw a painting that best displayed what we're talking about right now, the peace of God. The peace, if you will, in the midst of the storms of life. And so it came down to two paintings. And both of these paintings were going to be unfurled, and people were going to look at them, and they were going to judge. And so the first painting was just a beautiful picture of a lake, and there was beautiful trees around the lake, and a beautiful sky in the background, and it was just a very peaceful setting. And then the second painting, when it was unveiled, was just a waterfall that was just crashing down, almost violently. And just the water was churning. And at first glance, people thought, wow, that's not really a picture of peace. But then in the painting, right along one of the rocks that was where the water was coming down, was a small tree that had grown up on the rocks. Have you ever seen that? Sometimes just in the even on a cliff sometimes, you'll see a tree just kind of out in the middle of nowhere. You wonder, how could it grow there? And then in that small tree that was growing there in the painting was a little nest. And in that nest was a bird. And in that nest was the mother bird feeding all the little chicks. And so the point was, the one picture, the painting and the blue sky, and that was very peaceful looking. But the peace that we can have with the Lord Jesus Christ was depicted better in the second painting, because all around that tree and all around the bird and the bird's nest was all kinds of violent water and crashing water and turmoil. But right in the midst of that, right there in the center of that, was a beautiful picture of peace, that those birds could have peace right there in the middle of it. And that's the peace that you and I can have within. That's the peace that we should desire. That peace within. Someone said this: if I could experience a fulfilling relationship or taking a relaxing vacation in Tahiti, then I would have peace. Isn't that how people look for peace? They're always looking for something on the outside trying to bring them peace. Listen, in a more tragic thought, the whole North, maybe not even the Northeast, but much of our country is facing an opioid addiction. Why? Why is that? For people to get hooked on opioids is because there's something missing in their life. They're looking for something to fulfill them. They're looking for some kind of peace. They don't find it with opioids. In fact, it's tragic. Many of them, they find death. But there's a peace that Jesus wants us to have. And he's the one that provides it. So they said, if I can experience a fulfilling relationship or taking a relaxing vacation in Tahiti, then I would have peace. But then the author went on to say this, the problem is that you can't run away from yourself. And the problem with going to Tahiti is that you'll be there. And if you don't have peace here, you're not going to have peace in Tahiti either. It might be a beautiful spot. We're talking about a peace that's within. So one of my favorite verses in the Bible, look on your handout, Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 through 7. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. This type of peace we're going to talk about now, the fruit of the Spirit is peace. It's a disposition that God wants us to have. You know, we talked about love and joy and peace. Okay? I'm going to read this. Be careful for nothing. That word careful there, it means not to be anxious. Be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, this is a peace that we get from the Lord. This is a peace that when we know Christ as our Savior, this is the fruit of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. It's a peace that we can have in the midst of the worst situations, even in life. Peace, on your handout it says, peace is a grace of the Holy Spirit. That word grace, too, it means it's a gift. It's something that the Holy Spirit, as we allow the Holy Spirit to live in and through us, it's that peace, the Bible calls it, a peace that passeth all understanding. It's a disposition in our hearts. We worry a lot, don't we? People worry. How are we going to do this? Or how am I going to get there? Or what am I going to do here? Or how can I do there? We had an old preacher come many, many years ago. Brother R.O. Woodworth. And he made this statement. And he must have been well into his 80s when he was here. And he said that worry is just another form of atheism. Because when we worry, we forget that there's a God that's in control of all things. There's a God that cares for us. Listen, the Bible says that God knows the very numbers of hairs upon your head. He knows your deepest thoughts. He's not taken aback by surprise. Whatever your needs are, God already knows what those needs are. And in the times of difficulty and times of trouble, he desires that we would just have the peace that only God can give. Not to worry, not to be upset. The word worry, it's actually from an old German word. It actually means to choke. To choke. And that's what happens when we worry. It's almost like we get all consumed by it. We get anxiety. We lose sleep. And the reality is we're probably, to some degree, all guilty of it. I know I am. So when I begin to worry about things, that's another reason I look to the Scriptures to be reminded of the fact that God's in control and God, the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Peace, that God wants me to have peace in my life, even in the midst of the most difficult, difficult circumstances. Peace which passeth all understanding. And the peace is sustained by the Word of God. Look at Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3 on your handout. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Read this out loud together with me, would you please? Let's read it out loud. Let's begin. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. So let me ask you this question then this evening. How Isaiah writes these words, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, a complete peace, whose mind," speaking about our thinking, "is stayed on thee," stayed on God. So let me ask you, there are a number of ways I can think of that we can keep our mind on the things of God. So you tell me, somebody give me, what is one way that we can keep our mind on the things of God so that when, listen, we're all going to worry, we're all going to go through difficult times, we're all not always going to be at peace, you know, there's always going to be, you know, things that come our way, but when those things come our way, the Lord, the Holy Spirit wants us, you know, I give you a Bible example, they're the disciples and Jesus, we're going across the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is sleeping in the ship, and all of a sudden the storm blew up, and the disciples were all worried, they thought this ship was going to sink, they woke up Jesus, he came to the upper deck of the ship, he stood on the bow of the boat, and what did he say? "Peace be still." And instantly, the waves and everything ceased. So, we're not Jesus. We're more like the disciples. Amen? So, but there's "peace be still." So, we can all get caught up in it. But then we've got to get our minds thinking about, wait a minute. What are the promises that God gives us? "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." So, let me ask you, how... And I'm not even talking about in times where we don't have peace. I'm just talking in general. What are some ways that we keep our minds on the Lord? What's one way that you can, on a daily basis, keep your mind on the things of God that helps you? Yeah, read God's Word. How often? Yeah, try to be in God's Word every day. If you're in God's Word every day, it helps you to keep your mind on the things of God. That's one way. What's another way? Huh? Talk with God. Talk with Him. And then, Jane, what did you say? Yeah, prayer. Now, talking with God is a type of prayer, but sometimes we can kind of, I don't know about you, but sometimes I just talk with God like I'm having a conversation with God. I'm not necessarily praying, but I'm just talking to the Lord. And that's a way we keep our mind. You know, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So, we spend some time in the Bible each day. You know, that's why out in the foyer, those little devotional books are there as well. I'm always a big advocate of just take your Bible, open it, and begin to read it. But those devotional books are there with a verse or two, and it gives you a thought for the day. So that's a way to stay in God's Word. Just talking with God. Praying to God. Yeah. Praising God. Yeah, that's excellent. Singing songs. And, you know, when we go, like on some of our camping trips, we do our father-son camping trip, oftentimes we have a campfire going. We don't have a hymnal with us. We just start singing. And why? You know, it's different hymns. How can we do that? We don't have a hymnal. Why? Because we've been singing these songs for years. And there's a song that's in our heart. And many of the hymns of the faith, they're great ways to keep our mind on the things of God. But along those lines, listening to Christian music that magnifies the Lord, speaks of the things of God. That's a way to keep our mind on the Lord. What else, Jim?
Reviewing what scripture we have.
Yeah, that's true. If you don't use it, you lose it. Meaning if you memorize scripture, I used to, when I was a new Christian, I had index cards. And I still have all those index cards. I must have had 50, 60, 70 verses. I just kind of go through them just to memorize God's Word. But I found this, that if you don't use it, you'll lose it eventually. You have to go back through and review it. And, that's so important. And there's another verse in Isaiah that says this, listen, Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That's the word of God. So, these are some excellent ideas. There's many more, though. I'm thinking of some other ones. So, we keep our mind on the things of God. So, you spend a little time each day reading your Bible. We praise God, music, talking to God, praying to God. Did I miss some that somebody else said? That's really good, yeah. If you have to do a job that you don't really like to do, there's a famous story, I've told it often, there was a very famous Russian dissident by the name of Alexander Solzhenitsyn. And he was in a communist concentration camp. He was a brilliant man, and he said that the jailers would have him build a brick wall every day. And then at the end of the day, he had to knock the wall down. And then the very next day, he'd go and build the same brick wall. This man was like a genius. So they asked him, well, how could you do that? He said just exactly what Russ Cody just said. Every day, every brick was for the glory of God. So, very good. What else? Anything else you can think of? Even if you're not having a rough time, just fellowship with other Christians. That's how we keep our mind on the things of God. Yeah. What else? To share your faith. Yeah, to share your faith. What else? How else can we keep our... There's like one really obvious one that nobody said yet. Coming to church! Yes, thank you! Coming to church! Yeah, that's a good way to keep your mind on the things of God. Yeah, we don't need to do this. Take your Bibles. One verse I want you to turn to in your Bibles, if you have them, is Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Like, as you're turning there, like, you know, we're having a missions conference. Why? Because, first of all, we're commanded in the Scriptures to be part of missions and to support missionaries. It's a way to keep our mind on that. That's one of the reasons we do it. But Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says this. Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So those three verses actually just cover a number of different answers of what you all just gave. You know, the music, the being in the Word of God. But I want you to see this because verse 15, where it says, let the peace of God, what's the next word there? Rule. You know what that word rule means? That word rule is the same word. It could be used to umpire, like an umpire of a baseball game. The umpire's there to make sure everything is being played within the two foul lines and everybody's either safe or they're out or it's a strike or it's a ball or all of that. So that's what God's Word does. And so if our mind, in Isaiah, when it says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, and I realize that all day long you're not just thinking about... you're not reading your Bible all day long, or you're not singing. You have to work, But if you do this, if you come to church, if you do a little bit of Bible in the morning or maybe in the evening, if you read and you talk to God each day, and throughout the day you can talk to the Lord, if you do that, then there's a peace that God will bring into your life. And if you do that when you're going through times of peace, when times of trouble or times of turmoil or times of great difficulty come, you've already got into the practice of it. Too many times people wait, and when things are all of a sudden catastrophic, then they turn to God. No, just learn to talk to God every single day of our lives. And that's the peace that we can have inside of ourselves. And then lastly, be at peace in relationships. We're about out of time, but in our relationships, peace in the home. So important to have peace in the home. And that peace that we just read in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, letting the peace of God rule our homes. And then to have peace in our church. You know, there are some things that can really ruin peace within a body of believers. Like gossip. People who gossip about other people. That can really ruin peace in a ministry. And having an unloving heart can really ruin the peace of a body of believers. Or prejudices. Or thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to. Just, we could spend a whole lesson just on that. So peace in our homes. When we have the peace within, there'll be peace in our homes. There'll be peace in our churches. And in the world around us. You go to work. You have to deal with people. Sometimes it's not always easy to deal with people. And but when you have the peace of God in your heart, then I remember in my part-time job last year, I was giving these four people a ride. And they asked before I brought them home if they could stop at the 7-Eleven in Wilmington. They needed to run in and get some things. And I said, sure, I'll do that. So they thought this was a really big deal. I didn't really think it was that big of a deal. But anyhow, I'm parked there, and this guy pulls in right next to me, and there was like nobody in the parking lots. And I'm in this big vehicle. It's probably, I don't know, from that wall to about here. It's a big Mercedes-Benz Transit. And so I'm kind of like at the far end, and there's nobody there, and I'm not parked this way. It wouldn't fit anyhow. I'm parked this way, and I'm waiting for this guy to come out. And this guy pulls up, and apparently he had too much to drink. And he comes up, and he makes me roll down my window, and he really lets me have it about my parking job. So I said, thank you. I rolled up the window. Well, these people thought it was the greatest. Wow, you really handled that well. And I think, well, how else should you want me to handle this? You want me to get out and beat the guy up or something? Well, he was younger than me. I don't think I could have done that. But just maintaining our testimony. You ever have a problem with somebody at work? And you want to kind of lose your cool? It's not always easy. But the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, peace, peace. Don't live in a world that has a lot of peace. Look at, let's finish up these two verses on the bottom. Recompense to no man evil for evil. What does that mean, recompense? Somebody tell me. To recompense. Huh? That's good. Payback. Okay? Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And then in Ephesians, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Living peaceably. So that's our lesson for tonight. The fruit of the Spirit. Comes the fruit grows where the stream flows. We're talking about the fact that you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, so you have to admit that you're a sinner, you have to believe Jesus died for your sin, and you call upon Him to be your Savior. That's what it means to be born again. Lord, I admit to you I'm a sinner, I believe Jesus, you died, and you paid for my sin on the cross, and today I trust in you and what you did for me. That's how you and I can have peace with God. But then once we've done that, and the Bible says when we receive Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit of God now lives within us. And now if we'll make ourselves available, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit manifesting or growing this love that we've talked about in us. It's God's love, it's not ours. The joy that Pastor Ethan talked about last week, it's the joy of the Lord flowing through us. Or tonight, it's not our peace. It's not something the world can offer us. It's the peace. It's literally the peace of God. God's, the disposition of God flowing in and through us. And so, again, when we think about it and we know it and we remember what we've learned and we find ourselves waiting for a piece of apple pie with ice cream on it and are about to lose our cool, oh, wait a minute, we've been studying about the fruit of the Spirit. And not that I was going to make a big scene or anything like that, but don't you ever, is it just me? Sometimes, like, all of a sudden, there's something begins to well up inside of you, and I'm even thinking, this is silly. This is really silly why I'm getting upset. And I'm talking to myself, this is silly. And then I think, wait a minute. Lord, I just need you at this moment, at this time. I'm telling you, if you do it with the little things, when the big things come your way, it's a lot easier to deal with. Amen? So that's our Bible lesson for tonight. We'll have a prayer. Yes, sir. Oh, no kidding. Well, that's great. Jamie Lee is Russ's daughter, and this will be Jamie Lee and Nick's second child. Praise the Lord. So Russ will be a grandpa again. Number six. All right. All right. I'll have a short word of prayer, and then you can go ahead and pray for these things on your prayer list. And then when you're done, just go ahead and dismiss yourself. So if people want to pray a little longer, they can. Just be mindful, though, in that back room, Shelly is teaching the continue class to the ladies that are there. So if you're going to talk, just if they're not done, you need to give them a little bit of time. Just don't go in there until you feel that that they're done. Because there's no door, outside door there. So, all right? Okay. Lord, bless our prayer time. And we're just so thankful for the fruit of the Spirit. Help us to rely upon it, to depend upon it. And now bless this time of prayer. Might these prayer requests be answered according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen.